Hey, welcome back. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the regular guys, random thoughts, Married at First Sight, recap, season 14, episode 2000.
Almost feels like it, doesn't it? You know, it's funny. I saw somebody tweet something today that was like, you know, I'm really tired of all these commercials Lifetime. That's the only reason this show is 2 hours. And the first thought that came to mind is, did Terrell tweet from somebody else's account?
I called it from the beginning. I'm like, why are we dragging this stuff out? Y'all could have did all this in an hour and just had make people pay higher for those that commercial time. But mm-hmm. Do it in an hour. This is ridiculous.
Well, for those of you who are wondering, well, he seems a little hesitant here. He is very hesitant. Let's get this straight. Terrell is not a fan of reality TV. So if this is your first time joining us, let me tell you how we got here and why we're actually recapping Married at First Sight. So sometime in his past, not quite sure exactly when, he made a deal with the devil that he'd never watched The Bachelor until they had a black bachelor. Pandemic hit. ABC says, hey, let's try something new. Enter Matt James. So Terrell stuck watching The Bachelor, me being the great friend that I am. I sit down, I watch it with him. We review that one. And in return, him being the great friend that he is, he decides to watch one of my shows. Reluctantly decides to watch one of my favorite shows, Married at First Sight. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Because halfway through season 13, he, unprovoked, made a deal with the devil and said, if Gil and Merle make it through decision day, we'll do season 14. Well, you know what happened. And here we are.
It's bullshit. But what I love about this is after we did The Black Bachelor and then did the season 13 of Married at First Sight, you would always say that story is me being the great friend that I am and Terrell being who he is. It was never Terrell being the great friend. And so I feel like I've graduated. You know, we've been best friends for over 20 years, but now I'm the great friend.
You know, things have changed over the months.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Moving on up.
Oh, my God. Today's episode being brought to you in part by the Charleston Caribbean Jerk Festival, Saturday, July 16th, Riverfront Park in North Charleston. And jerk meaning, you know, that jerk seasoning used in food that came out of Jamaica and now used throughout the Caribbean as well, too. But not Terrell's takes on some of these couples.
I'm really hoping to make sure I can be there because this will be my first Jerk Fest. And I love that jerk seasoning. And that time that you and I went to St. Kitts and just got a chance to taste some of the culture that you have. I'm all about it. So sign up.
Oh, it's definitely going to be there's a lot of culture there. It's going to be a great one. It's the first one back in 3 years because 2019 was the last one. Then the pandemic hit and just so July 16th, Saturday, July 16th, all the info you need, right? Whether you're talking about tickets, you want to know what it's about, kind of see some of the pictures from before. Everything you need is right there. CHSJerkFest.com. Yeah, right down there.
CHSJerkFest.com. Hit the link.
So many things changed in this episode, and you know, but let's go ahead and start off with the couple that we both think could potentially make it through the end of this, Noy and Steve.
So Noy and Steve, I know I've had some people giving me flack in the comments that I just think Noy is dope. All I've said is that Noy is in talent acquisition, so am I, so I'm a little bit biased. I really liked their episode today. I thought that it was great to see Steve. Well, let me back up. Noe's kind of surprise date, I thought was cute. I thought that
it was
nice. It was.
That was a cute treasure hunt, right?
That was a lot of effort, right? And like somebody puts that much effort into you. That's huge. That's you talk about acts of service. I was taking notes. Yeah,
notes,
I'm just understand? Like, I need to do something like that with somebody at some point. I mean, I used to want to cook noodles with somebody, but I've learned that's a bad idea. I don't need to do that. But
avoid the noodles.
Yeah, don't do noodles. Don't do pasta with somebody. Just focus on what you know. Stay in your lane. But I really thought it was a great date that she had. And then I thought it was great that Steve put that picnic together and was able to express how he felt about her. I really feel like this couple could make it. I mean, I still want Steve to get a job. And I think everybody does. But I felt really good about what they did today.
I felt, and I'm glad to see the way they brought that full circle, because early in the episode, they showed her fishing for him to say that he loves her and, you know, that they're falling in love. And I think that's a bit much and very needy and almost pushy, right? And then, of course, when she was on the girls' get-together and, you know, the girls' spa day, and she's like, it was at this moment when he became vulnerable that, you know, I realized that he loves me. He won't say it, but I know he does. People ate her ass up on Twitter. Like,
really?
Like, girl, you reaching. Oh, you ghosted him and he actually sat down and talked to you and now you feel like he loves you? They ate her ass up on Twitter. But you know what? She had the last laugh in today's episode. And I will say, Steve really showed the maturity that we knew that he had, not in getting a job and keeping, a corporate job, but in in being emotionally vulnerable and sitting down with the guys and really just telling them. To me, he took the role of Gil from season 13 in that moment with the guys. When he was like, hey, guys, here's what you need to do. Here's what I did. And I thought it was great.
Well, what I'm hoping happened is that when he and Noe had that conversation, when she finally came back to the house, and he was like, hey, you got to understand, we're married. You just don't leave. And all that. And like, he hit her with some what I call grown man shit. Like, it was great conversation. That's when I think maybe she realized, like, oh, snap. Like, this is not what I've been used to. This is real. And so I thought it was great. I thought it was great. But I'm happy for the both of them. And I'm happy that Steve feels comfortable that he could share how he feels. Because she's been craving that. Like, she's been in this limbo stage thinking that he's not into me. Or he's not all in. And so she's trying to decide, like, do I move forward? Do I pull back? And so I'm excited to see what's going to happen with this couple. I still hate the show. Let me just preface that when I say I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I want people to think, oh, Terrell likes the show. No, I don't. But I'm excited to see what could potentially happen for this couple.
I will say, you hit the nail on the head. Steve was on his grown man shit. You know we're going to get to it, that fake grown man shit. We're going to get to that crap. But let's move on to Lindsay the Lohan and Mark the Shark. And I think that this episode proved to me that Lindsay has fully accepted her role as the new villain of season 14 of Married at First Sight Boston. And Mark has done his part and he's become the new Chris with his, well, you know, 1% works.
So after last week's episode, I was like done with Lindsay. And I think a lot of us were.
Oh, definitely.
After this week's episode, I took a second to say, you know what? Let me put my pride aside and just kind of try to put myself in Lindsay's shoes and see how she's feeling. Mm-hmm. And after doing that, I was just like, I can kind of see what she's talking about. I get it. Mm-hmm. But what I really liked about this episode is that Mark acknowledged it. And he went to took her to the sushi place. He hates sushi, but took her to the sushi place. But he's starting to have conversations, say how he feels and what he thinks. And so I'm hoping maybe that Mark's guard is coming down and he's just not going to stop being this guppy that we called him.
Yeah.
That he's going to start being the shark and like be able to say what he feels. But I think Lindsay was really open to receiving the message that he was saying today. Not when they had breakfast, but I felt like
I don't know which episode you were watching.
Yeah, not when they had breakfast. When they had dinner, I think she really received it. But I still don't think this couple's going to work because Lindsay likes to, when she gets frustrated, she goes back to the fact that Mark doesn't make as much money as her and that she's his boss and all that. And I'm like, that is not that's not a good recipe for success. You know, you got to, if you love Mark, the fact that who he is, he's this goofy kid that's weird when he eats sushi, love that. But don't all of a sudden, when you get pissed off, resort back to the fact that he's, makes $60,000 a year. Like, she just seems very, but I was really proud of Mark of what he said to her, that you don't realize the things that you say and what you do. And she doesn't, but not a believer. I'm not a believer, but I thought they had a good episode.
You know, so it's interesting because, you know, he can open up to her, but you realize that when he opens up to her, she throws that shit back in his face when she gets mad. Just like you said, she has no filter when it comes to, and she, I don't think she has a self-awareness, and that's the difference. And there's some people who have no idea, and she will literally describe somebody she hates and not realize that person she's describing. If she just turns to the right, She'd be looking in the mirror. That's who she's describing.
Yeah. No, you know, you're 100% right. And, you know, it's her family. It's all her friends. No one's told her that. Mm-hmm. Maybe in her previous relationships when she said that she was in love with the high school sweetheart and person from college, whatever, and then the person she moved to New York for. Mm-hmm. Maybe they never told her, hey, you're a problem. But I respect the fact that Mark was like, hey, you do this and you don't even recognize you're doing it.
Facts. You know, I thought who had a good episode. Well, kind of. Jasmine and Michael. I thought what Michael did at the beginning of the episode, you know, trying to, all right, she loves her dog. I'm not a dog person. Let me be nice to this little bastard right here real quick. And he did. He even bought the dog some treats and some toys. I thought the first toy, I was trying to figure out what the toy was for the dog or for Jasmina, because am I wrong in assuming that looked like a sex toy? I mean, what the hell?
It looked like a pooper scooper, I thought. It had like a little spade at the end that you could...
No, that was just the wrapping. That was that cardboard wrapping on the back.
Yeah, no, I don't think he bought her a toy. But... get your mind out the gutter.
Hey, judging from next week's episode, he definitely didn't. Hey,
I've had two drinks. Actually, I've had 1.4 drinks, and I still have some left. So yeah. I'd expect me to say that, but no, that didn't happen. So here's the thing about them today. I liked the fact that Michael felt comfortable enough to be vulnerable, talk about his brother. And when you hear stories like that, you know, we have siblings. I don't know what I would do if I'd have saw something like that happen to my brother. Like it just, it hits home, right? I don't know what I would do. Even right now, I don't know what I'd freaking do if I got that phone call, something about happened to my brother. Mm-hmm. But I think it still boils down to the fact that Jasmina is not into him. Like she's not feeling him. And if you saw the previews of next week's episode where she says her vagina's not getting wet, mm-hmm. It's like, I don't think she's just into him. But I would say to Michael is so wrapped up tight. It's like, why are you bringing up these old conversations from Puerto Rico at the honeymoon? Focus mm-hmm. on where you're at today and just move on. But I just don't see them working. But I thought they had the best episode, honestly, I think they've had since the show started. But it's not going to work out. She's not feeling him whatsoever.
She really isn't. I mean, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, you know, you and I can both agree we're never going to Jasmina's gym. Ever. I mean, because she's a horrible trainer, one. But she's also not very good at comforting, right? You know, so because in that moment that Michael was pouring his heart out and crying in front of her, she was almost, it was the most awkward.
She was like, hey, buddy. Guess I got to go hug this guy. Dude. He's got tears and let me just, God, this is gross. I can't wait to put
exactly. That's what it looked
not
like.
Not feeling, she's, I guess I should do this. Yes. Yeah,
you could tell she didn't want to. I'm just like, oh, my. That was painful to watch because you knew the pain that he was going through. And you watched her not be able to have that compassion for him because she doesn't give two shits about him. And I'll admit it. I agree now. You can see that, right? And here's something else I will admit to. Jasmine has a huge problem with accepting her part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like with her, it's, well... the reason I did this because you did this. And
right.
When you get into the blame game, it's never going to work. And her friend pointed that out. What was it, last week's episode or episode before that? Last week, her friend was like, well, sounds just like you. I'm not that. Yes, you are. I think I know. I've known you for a couple of years. She is another one. So Jasmina and Lindsay are the same because they can't look in the mirror. Oh, well, I guess that'd be Jasmina, Lindsay, and Alyssa. They can't look in the mirror and see who they really are.
You're 100% right. And I think with Jasmina, the way that interaction happened with her and Michael, she's like, you need to calm down. You know, you're raising your voice. It's like, no, he wasn't. He wasn't. But he was right. He's like, I'm having a human emotion. And he's 100% right when she says, you know, this should be basic conversation stuff. You should know how to do this. That's ridiculous that she said that. Mm-hmm. He's asking, he's trying to reach out to understand. She doesn't like him. And I think the difference is when you really like somebody and you're attracted to somebody, you respond differently. But if you don't like them, you respond the way that you normally would. You're like, whatever. You should know how to answer this.
IDGAF, manner.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think that's what's happening. So no matter what Michael does, she's not still going to respond to him. And she's trying to hold on to that, the way he talked to her as the reason. Mm-hmm. But I really think the issue is on her. And I was waiting to see if she was going to like scooch closer to give the dude a hug. I mean, the dude is like pouring his heart out. I was hoping to see that.
That man, bring him close, put him on your bosom.
Yeah. But I just, the whole look on her face was just like, this bitch. Ugh. Yeah. Just yeah. Soft.
You know, I gotta break this out as we get to this last couple, because
it's weird, you know, because it's the last couple. I'm thinking there's two more couples, right? But I forgot. Yeah.
That and you see, I broke out the big glass for it too. So
the big glass with a small pour.
Yes, of course. I still gotta go work in a couple.
You must
hours.
Have owned a bar before, so you understand how that works.
Pour 4 pounds of ice in this. Yeah. It looks like a full glass. You know, I kind of put this out on Twitter earlier today. Like, I really wish if the experts were looking for drama, what they should have done, looking for drama and success, what they probably should have done was matched Michael and Katina and Olajuwon and Jasmina. Because I would have loved to see the two of them try to go at each other, because they're both in this demeaning way. Because as we get to Katina and Olajuwon and his 1950s definition of a wife is tiring, and he needs to learn how to talk to people. He's talking to Katina that way because she won't fire back. Jasmina would have ate his ass alive.
But Jasmina wouldn't have cooked shit. I mean, we haven't seen her cook shit either. But like with Olajuwon, I was so blown away because I'm like, who licked the red off his candy that he's just this bitter today? Like, he just seemed just in this mood throughout the whole episode. But he is so hung up on the fact that he wants Katina to do this wife stuff. And the other thing, and I got to call this out. I'm sorry. Comment if you disagree. I don't trust or believe in anybody that pronounces the L in salmon. And
love is not on the table, but salmon is.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, he did it and the chef did it. I'm just like, it's salmon. The L is silent. But when he said that, but the way he kept like poaching her, I really felt like he's gaslighting her.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, I literally pulled up the definition of gaslighting watching the episode. I'm like, this is what this dude is doing. He's gaslighting Katina to make her feel like she's doing something wrong. But the reality is his expectation is he wants to come home. So when he was hanging with the fellas, he was talking about, I work nights, she's out during the day. What's going to happen when I come home? He's expecting to come home to have some Tupperware, a fresh meal that was cooked that tastes just like this chef that just did it. I'm like, where do you get this from? You know, order, why not just order some boxes of HelloFresh and y'all cook together? And that's a date thing y'all do. You know, you get 3 boxes of HelloFresh a week. You cook together and you move on. And then it's like you're on your own 4 nights of the week. Figure it out.
Yeah.
But why is that so particular?
It's that 1950s definition of a wife for him. I mean, like, the thing about it, like, I like to cook. So my wife can cook. But of course, you know, there's a lot of things I don't eat. So when I cook, I can cook the same shit and eat it every day for a week. Right. She's not that person. So it's funny you brought up the HelloFresh, because that's something I did. I ordered HelloFresh because I'm like, all right, well, here's some new shit. Because I know how I am. As a bachelor, I cooked. If it's in the if it's in the cupboard, it's in the fridge, I can mix it up and put it all together. It'll be fine. She likes different shit. I'm like, all right, cool. Well, this is what we do. And that's the part I don't think he's trying to make it like people have said it looks like he wants a maid. Right. I mean, and like I said, on Twitter, they ate his ass up on a lot of things. And one of the troubling things was the fact that this one lady said, nice church lady, she says, I'm truly upset. Katina was in an abusive relationship and they matched her with someone who does not speak softly or gently to her. This is a mess. Olajuwon, we found out this week that Katina was in an abusive relationship, that she still has got PTSD from that. And now we kind of see why she's sitting there just taking all that shit that he's dropping on her. It was painful to watch that last part of the episode.
Yes.
like, she admits why she told him why she didn't cry. And it's almost like he went, well, I'm going to make you cry because you got to open up. I'm going to teach you how to be a woman and learn to be vulnerable and make sure you cry. And to the point that she cried just standing there talking to the producers, she cried mm-hmm. sitting there with him. And as we see on next episode, she's crying. For somebody who doesn't cry in front of people, to have them crying on national TV like that, yo, we all need to go ride on Olajuwon right now.
Well, and that's why I called out the gaslighting, because he was so insensitive to that she shared that, hey, I was in an abusive relationship. This guy was verbally abusive. That mm-hmm. should be your cue. And any men that watch our show, that's your cue. If a woman tells mm-hmm. you that, don't come at her that way. There's a difference, because mm-hmm. he was, what Pastor Cal would say, talking at her and not talking to her.
Yes.
But
That's why I want to see him and Jasmina. That would have been amazing.
But he was so condescending. That's the thing. Like, he told her pretty much, you're not an adult. You still mm-hmm. got student loans. You have an apartment. You know, can you do anything by yourself? Now, I understand 20% of where he's coming from, because I don't want to be in a relationship where if I'm in a work situation, I got to travel and I'm in Atlanta and all of a sudden my wife or girlfriend's like, I got a flat tire. What do I do? I'd be like, fucking fix it. Like, figure it out. Call AAA. We got AAA for a reason for both cars. Like, I don't understand why this is a deal. I think that's where his intent was. Mm-hmm. But the things he's expecting out of what he calls a wife, and then the condescend to her that she doesn't understand what being a wife is. The dude is off the rails. And I'm just like, dude, you can't even say salmon correctly. So you can go to HE double hockey sticks.
Yo, here's what I want to do. Because, again, so many tweets about Olajuwon. I want to read a tweet and then hear what you have to say about it. Agree or disagree, okay? Rewind and Recap podcast said, who does Olajuwon think he is? Like, please, Ike Turner, get the fuck on.
Ike, all the way.
SS says, I would have told Olajuwon to go fuck himself so fast the first time he spoke in a misogynistic and condescending way.
Great.
From Ray. She said, Olajuwon shouldn't date black women moving forward. I pray Katina walks away. The way he's talking down on her, shaking my head. Olajuwon seems like a master manipulator.
He's the problem, but I would never tell him not to date black women. Because if he does that, then more black women are just going to hate him anyway. So there's no win-win for him. But I do think that he has to, I don't want to say lower the standard, because I don't think that makes sense. Because I get when anybody's thinking about getting married, they have a vision of what they think it'll be like. Mm-hmm. But he is focused on like little shit. And I'm a big believer in focus on 10% of the things that make 90% of the difference. Okay, so if she can't cook, great. If she satisfies you in every other way, but cooking is the issue, solve the problem. But the way he's treating her, I feel like I'm watching The Help.
Which is funny, she said it, because another one is somebody says, Chloe says, Randolph needs a therapist and a maid, I fear. and it's funny you said about the whole thing of the expectations of a spouse. It's the merger of two lives, and you've got to be compromising in there. You don't go tell her, jump in the kitchen and cook for me every day. You find ways for this to work. You say, yes, it's important to me that you do cook. Let's do it. A couple days. You find ways to make it fun. Like you said, the HelloFresh. Bring the chef into the house and do some stuff. There are ways to do it, man.
There's totally ways, especially if you have the finances to do it. I like a very clean house, but I don't expect my wife, whenever I meet her, to clean my house. I just want her to love the fact that I got a clean house, and I'll have someone come clean it every 2 weeks. You don't have to do all the big stuff, you know, but I think you solve the little problems. But if I met somebody who their house was messy, but they understand that in my house, and that's not cool, and I have cleaners because knowing you're not going to do it, we should be good. Right. You know, but focus on the things that make a relationship the most important. And I don't know, maybe this is just me being a single guy that has this mindset and watching a lot of my friends get married and divorced at a young age. I'm like, focus on the things that actually make you happy about a person, then Olajuwon's deal breaker is this whole cooking thing. And I'm like, dude, like, she is amazing in all these other ways. Mm-hmm. Why is this? And then the way that when the chef was teaching him how to cook that meal and he kept telling her, like, yeah, you think you can do this? You think it's his goal? I really think his goal is to be this barbarian that can come home and his wife's cooking and he can sit at the table and just kind of watch her make some food. He can feed him and then he goes to sleep.
That's so on point. Like this tweet that said, so what does a husband do? Ouija board is exhausting. Oh, how about this one from Angel, who said, Katina, girl, don't you ever let a man with that kind of hairline speak to you in just any type of way again. You hear me?
Well, I would love to hear from the ladies that watch our podcast and comment, like, what do you think about this whole Olajuwon Katina thing and the way he's talking to her? Like, I'm bothered by it. I don't want to use triggered, but I'm bothered by it. But what do y'all really think? Because I really think Olajuwon is wrong in his whole fascination about a woman should be cooking for him. Like, I feel like that's just a really old school mindset. Now, or you should find somebody that's their shtick. That's their love language, is they want to cook for you. And unfortunately, you and I married at first sight unseen, and married somebody, and you hope they have this cooking skill, and they don't.
And Pastor Cal said, you didn't say that was a priority. Pastor Cal said, when Pastor Cal was like, you didn't tell us that was something that you needed. So he called him out on that. And I like the fact that he called him out. Like, no, you didn't say that. And he was like, well, yeah, I told her. No. You didn't tell us. We're the ones doing the matching. And that's the problem. I will say for Katina, I was happy to see on the girls get together, her and Lindsay playing nice. But like at Finding Virtue said, this take no shit energy Katina has with Lindsay, I need her to have it with her husband. Don't just sit there and take this shit.
I saw some of the tweets about Katina, and I'm wondering, and I hope whoever is the therapist that follows us, I hope she can comment on this. I'm wondering, is it easier for her to lash out at a Lindsay when she's triggered? But because of her past experience in relationships, she just sits and takes what the person gives her. Because she sat at that table and just took what Olajuwon was saying, and it was the most condescending shit. And I'm talking about when the chef, they cooked the food together. Just the way he was talking to her, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But it seems like that's easier for her to take. So what she does is she channels that energy. And then when she's annoyed or aggravated with someone else, it makes sense why she lashes out to Lindsay.
Because it's built up so much from what she's dealing with privately. And I can say this. It's the worst thing to do is to keep that shit bottled up. I used to do that. And hell, we've known each other a long time. You've seen a lot of shit. You know what it's like when I lose.
I've never seen you have bottled up energy towards me. I mean,
No, not towards you, obviously. Yeah.
I remember the time that I snapped at you. It was warranted because you left all my cabinets open and you were just sitting on the couch. But... But the look on your face was what trained me to realize I'm wrong. So you helped me in all of my friendships and relationships with people in that one interaction where I'm just like, you know what? I was kind of being an asshole back there. That was me. Yanni wasn't wrong. I was wrong. So I learned from you, sir. I learned from you.
Yeah, there's some situations that you got to be aware of. This could be a very different podcast if that was the case.
It would probably be funnier because we still jab and talk trash about our college days, but it would probably be funnier.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't be talking by now.
No, because it would just take a few people from our past to stumble across our podcast and be like, let me tell you about Yanni and Cheryl. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a game changer. I'm just like, I don't know what you say to that. Do we comment on YouTube like, hey, girl, how you been? Long time no talk.
Hey, be careful what you say.
Yeah.
This gun fires both ways. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to next week's episode. I think it's going to be interesting to see. What as they sit down with experts finally get back in there and actually do some shit. So, it should be interesting to see as we get to the intimacy parts. And Katina looks like she's halfway standing up for herself. Hopefully it's a lot more. But yeah, don't forget, Monday, we drop regular episodes, the audio version on your favorite podcast platform. On Tuesdays, we drop the video on YouTube. And Wednesdays, of course, right back here doing Married at First Sight, Season 14, Boston.
I would say one of the few podcasts that drops their recap within about 30 minutes to an hour of the show airing.
Hey, I will say this too, though. One of the things that I just want to give a little hope to some folks. Terrell texted me the other day, right?
Yeah.
Because he's watching another show that's very similar to this. You know, it's on Netflix. It's Love is Blind. And he goes, you know, we could do Love is Blind.
It's a little less drama than what I've seen in Married at First Sight. And so I did say I'm trying to watch it just to see what the season's like. And I'm like, interesting. Mm-hmm. And so Yanni's like, we should do it. I'm like, no. I said, this could be interesting. I didn't say I'm signing up. So let's just dial that back a little bit. I think you're at about a 6. I need you at about a 2. So turn that dial around. But I am curious and intrigued to find something else that we could potentially watch. And so if you have something you're passionate about, put it in the chat. But I will say this. I've always made a deal with the devil. And the deal I made with the devil for Married at First Sight Season 14 is that if Steve and Alyssa, it's hard to even remember their names now.
Chris and Alyssa.
Chris, see? That's my point. If Chris and Alyssa made it, I would do Season 15.
You did, didn't you?
I did say that, but we know that that's not going to happen. So I feel like I have to do a deal with the devil in some case.
Uh-oh. So because what's this going to be? This should be interesting.
So what I think the deal with the devil should be is if we get to 1,000 subscribers by the time we end Married at First Sight, including the reunion of season 14, I'll do another reality show. And so I want people to comment, like, what reality show do you want us to do? Because I think they're stupid. I don't think you're stupid for watching them. I do judge you a little bit, but you're not stupid. But I hate reality shows. But if that's what you think that we do a good job of, hey, great, because I want to make sure you guys are entertained for the 30 minutes that you get a chance to log in. So if we get to 1,000 subscribers, we're at 600 and what, 8?
No, I think like 17, 18, something like that by the time we started recording.
Okay, so yeah, we're sort of like 600, almost 620. If we get another 380 subscribers by the time that we get to the reunion of Married at First Sight Season 14, I will sign up to do another reality show. I don't know if it'll be Married at First Sight, but yet if the bulk of you vote, that's what you want. Understand that that comes with episodes of Terrell being drunk. That could happen.
You know, when you put it that way, really, we just need a little bit more than half the people to grab one person, one friend, and have them subscribe. And we can wrap this up in a week. We can get to that 1,000 subscribers in a week. Easy. So we can go ahead and do this and determine. And if you do it fast enough, you know, we could probably, and Terrell can't hear me right now. At least I'm going to pretend like he can't.
Earmuffs.
We do this and we get past it. We can try and get him to do two, because I know there are people who've asked about Ready for Love. People who are going to want Season 15 when they go to San Diego, introduce a new expert. That's one of the rumors that's out there. And like I said, Love is Blind is another one that's coming back at some point. So there are enough out there. 90 Day Fiancé, I think that was just such a soap opera anyway. So it's almost like there's so many out there that we could do. And I will say, I am watching Ready for Love to see how that one kind of plays out. I've already watched the whole Love is Blind. And my wife is playing catch up, so I'm playing spoiler for her and telling her all the shit that's actually happening.
So watching season 2 of Love is Blind, I'm like, what the hell? This is so crazy. Just some of the things that people are saying, I'm like, seriously? You're not even seeing it? So it's an interesting concept because you don't get a chance to meet the person until you actually propose. And so I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then you get a chance to spend some time together and all that. And then decide, do you want to do it? I was like, this kind of makes sense. But
I'm not going to tell you to go back and watch season 1 yet. I'm going to let you finish watching season 2. But season 1
watched,
is one of the greatest reality TV couples.
But I watched season 1 up until like maybe 5 or 6 episodes. Because that was the one that had the interracial couple. The black and white girl, right? And so, no, the black girl.
The black girl and the white guy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I love the concept of the show that it's not about looks. It's more about a connection with a person. And I totally agree with that 100%. But some of the dudes, even in just trying to get to know the people, they say the stupidest crap. I'm like, how shallow.
Yeah, you've come across Shake a couple times, I see.
Yes, yes. I came across Shake and I'm like, what the hell is this dude's deal?
Oh, it gets better.
Well, you can relate because, you know, I guess DJs have this mindset that they're awesome. And so I guess Shake just went into that whole deal like, oosh, 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 oosh. Like he was just the shit.
You know, obviously that second glass is kicking as you start trying to throw insults. We're going to
get the
hell out of
here. That wasn't an insult. That wasn't an insult towards you. I was just like, I think DJs have that mindset sometimes because they're in control of when the beat drops. And so they feel this power.
You need to stay out of the techno clubs. Oh my God, I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yachty Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the things you see on the internet that you want to talk about on our bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend to subscribe so we can get them to do another show. Cheers.
Cheers.